Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 as we continue a little evening series looking at the book of 1 Samuel, looking for a king, and the first section's all about the prophet Samuel, a prophet from God's grace. I should say, just as you're looking up 1 Samuel chapter 3, the next Sunday evening we'll be praising testimony. So I'll probably maybe pick in a few folks during the week to share what God's doing in their lives just now, which would be a wonderful thing. But if not, there's always just a little bit of an opportunity if the Lord is laying something on your heart to come and to share that with me. If you think you've got something, then do come and speak to me during the week and we can chat about that ahead of next Sunday evening. But for tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this is the Word of God. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Amen. This is God's word for us this evening. Back in a day that some of you might remember, when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And if you're at the prayer meeting a month or two back, you probably heard this story, so don't give it away. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist's desk instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to the inner office. The young man filled out his form, sat with the seven other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered amongst themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified from getting the job. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm very sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did. The job is his." The young man listened and followed the instructions. As we continue looking at the life of Samuel, a prophet from God's grace, we come to this fascinating encounter where a young Samuel hears from God. There is a sense to the comical about this as he thinks he's hearing from Eli, but Eli keeps saying no. There's also a real sense of the seriousness with which he eventually listens and responds. This young man is serving the Lord faithfully in small ways and is about to be given more responsibility. A wonderful lesson, I guess, for us to note in there as well. Be faithful in what the Lord gives you to do, and in time, he will give you more responsibility. Many times in life, I guess, we're a bit like Samuel. We hear the Lord speaking to us, but we fail to recognize that it is him. Perhaps we get so caught up in our own importance, or lost in the busyness of life, or lost even in the sea of words from the world around us, that we simply do not listen and do not respond. Eli eventually urges young Samuel to cry out, "Speak, O Lord." Friends, let's make sure we learn the lesson tonight to ask the Lord to speak to us. The first thing we learn tonight is the need to have an attentive ear. We're reminded in verse 1 that Samuel is faithfully serving the Lord. It says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. We've seen this before, of course, in chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 18. Now, we've got no idea how old Samuel is at this point in time, although church historian Josephus reckons that he could be around 12 years old. He's a young boy. Samuel is learning the ropes of the priesthood. His job was to serve the Lord. He was probably given menial jobs to do, like keeping the lamps lit, probably keeping the place clean. Perhaps he had to wash the pails that carried the blood from the animal sacrifices. Perhaps he had to pick up the debris that blew in from the desert, clear away the tumbleweed and the leaves. Perhaps he had to polish some of the silver that adorned the tabernacle. Perhaps he had to open the gates every morning and close them every night. In fact, if you were observant when we read through, that's one of the things he actually did, wasn't it? Open the doors in the morning. Whatever it all entailed, Samuel did it faithfully. He has done this for some time. From the time he was weaned and left in the temple, he has served. Chapter 2, verse 11, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. 2:18, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Verse 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. He's grown up in the very presence of the Lord. Even in his youth, Samuel was faithful in whatever was assigned to him. Now, in today's terms, we might describe Samuel as Eli's intern. If you want to maybe use an analogy from a film, is maybe his young Padawan. If you're into the old Jedi Knights of Star Wars and all of that, he's his young disciple, and he's learning the ropes. Eli was the priest. He was judge over Israel in those days, and Samuel came as a boy to be trained by him and to work for him and with him. And you know, we're called to be faithful in whatever the Lord gives us to do. We're to be faithful in the small things as well as the big things. It always amazes me in churches when people want to come and put themselves forward for the big jobs, for the upfront jobs, for the jobs that are seen by everybody, for the jobs that they think show some kind of importance. And I always say to them, why don't you join the cleaning rota? Why don't you make some coffee on a Sunday morning? And you should see the look on the faces that I get sometimes. But you know, the Lord would teach us through His Word to be faithful in serving in the small things. And when we're faithful in the small things, He will allow us to have more responsibility as time goes by. I served faithfully in the church from my teenage years up, cleaning, opening up, closing up, looking after the youth work, serving as a deacon, as treasurer, as secretary, preaching and teaching, and now, only now, serving as your pastor, faithful in the small things, and given so much more responsibility by the Lord. And thankfully, by the way, it's not about me. It's about Him still working in and through me always. It was Hudson Taylor, the missionary, who said, "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a great thing." Let me say that again, just to you get your head around that one and make sure you've got it. A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a great thing. Samuel grew up serving the Lord. He also grew up in a day when the Lord was often silent. Verse 1 continues there. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And we have to remind ourselves of why this was, of course. This was because, Judges 21:25, in those days Israel had no king, and therefore what happened? Everyone did as he saw fit. Everyone did what they wanted to do. It's a time of great sin. It's a time of low spirituality. It's a time when people are pleasing themselves. It's a time of spiritual neglect. God has withdrawn Himself from His people for a reason and for a season. There are no great preachers. There are no great prophets. And when God is calling Samuel, He's calling Samuel into a context where God hasn't spoken. God hasn't been speaking to His people. The word of the Lord was rare. Yet now He is about to break into human history once more with a powerful word. He's been preparing this young man for a mighty work. He's getting ready to call him up for service. And I want you to see what I see here. A godly life can develop in spite of ungodly influences surrounding it. So it was with Moses in Egypt. So it was with Daniel in Babylon. So it was with our Lord in Nazareth. Samuel wasn't isolated, but he was separated. He belonged to the Lord. Or we might say that he wasn't isolated, but insulated. Daily, Samuel was in contact with sin, and yet he was not contaminated by it. The Lord protected him. The Lord provided for him. The Lord prepared him for all that was to come. So listen, you might think maybe you're growing up in a non-Christian home. Maybe you're growing up in a place of education at school or at university where all your friends seem to be non-religious. They don't have a faith. They go the way of the world and they try and drag you into the way of the world. Maybe you're in a workplace where the name of the Lord is used as a swear word every second word, where foul and abusive language is. Listen, you can still develop a godly life in spite of the ungodly influences all around you. That was the case with young Samuel. God was protecting him. God was providing for him. God was preparing him for what was to come. And now that call is about to come. In verse 2 and 3, we find that it's nighttime, and Eli and Samuel are both in the temple. And it says, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The details here are rich in symbolism. Eli's eyes are weak. And that reminds us, of course, of his weak spiritual vision. We've already seen that Eli was not very discerning when it came to spiritual things. He thought Hannah was drunk when in fact she was praying in the temple. He did nothing when his sons made a mockery of the priesthood. His fading eyesight, his fading vision is highly symbolic of this time in Israel when the word of the Lord was rare and when there were not many visions. We're also told there that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. The priests were required to keep the lamps burning in the temple every night from evening until morning. But there may be a play of words here by the writer, because these are dark days in Israel. These are the days after the judges. And the writer is saying, in another sense, the lamp of God hadn't yet gone out. Listen, it might be dark. Things might be difficult. The world around might be evil and terrible and bad. But there's still a ray of hope. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. And into that setting, Samuel hears a voice. And it's the voice of God. And God calls him by name. I don't know how many times we read that in Scripture, don't we? It doesn't matter how many times I read that in Scripture. It doesn't even matter how many times I read this call of Samuel here. What a thrill comes into my heart every time I think about it. The thrill that God knows my name. God knows our name. He knows you personally. He knows all about you. And he calls Samuel by name here. And this happens four times. And the first three times, of course, you remember, Samuel runs to Eli. And Eli's aged a bit. And he can't see so well now. And he's lying down in his own room. And each time he hears this voice, it says, Samuel. And Samuel runs into Eli and he says, here I am, you called me. But it wasn't Eli who was calling. Samuel was attentive. He was aware of what was around him, who was around him. He was listening out. One of the marks of a faithful servant is an attentive ear and an immediate response. But Samuel had never heard God's voice, so he didn't know who it was that was calling him. Eli should have done, and yet Eli is slow in recognizing what is going on. His heart has hardened. His faith has faltered. His sight is shot. Yet looking at verse 8, the light comes on for Eli eventually. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. He finally got there. Attentive ear. Stories told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured to them, I murdered my grandmother this morning. The guests responded with phrases like, marvelous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, sir. It wasn't until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Not quite knowing what to say, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, I'm sure she had it coming. Samuel has an attentive ear. And now we get to see that he's listened, because we have an obedient will next. Samuel's obedient will. When Eli finally realized what was going on, he says to the boy in verse 9, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And look at what Samuel does. He listens to the priest and he follows his instruction. No arguing, no doubting, no questioning, simply obedience. When was the last time when somebody told you what to do that you did it without arguing and without complaining? And without doubting, and without questioning, the Lord graciously comes a fourth time to speak to Samuel. Let that sink in for a minute. The Lord graciously comes a fourth time to speak to Samuel. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel hasn't responded to the Lord before. He's heard a voice but didn't know whose it was. And God graciously gives him another opportunity to hear and to respond. And I just love these verses, because I always tend to think back on God's repeated gracious call on my own life and my call to ministry. If I'm honest, I suspect the Lord was calling quite a bit before I eventually heard and responded, before my attentive ear and my obedient will kicked in. Now, God's timing is perfect. I believe that wholeheartedly. But he was calling out to me, and I did not hear. I did not know it was him, and I did not respond. I thought it was simply others telling me to go for it. And yet God graciously came and called and kept calling and kept calling until I heard and I responded. Friend, tonight, let me ask you, is the Lord calling your name tonight? Is he calling your name? Is he calling you to know him and the salvation that he offers you? Is he calling you to serve him in some small way? And remember what I said, faithful in the small things leads on to that greater responsibility so you can be faithful in the bigger things. Is he calling you to serve in some small way? Is he calling you into ministry? Is he calling you onto the mission field? Is the Lord speaking to you tonight? Are you listening? Did you notice that the Lord calls Samuel's name twice in this verse? This double address of Samuel's name is significant. When Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac in Genesis 22, God called out to him, "Abraham, Abraham." When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, he called out, "Moses, Moses," in Exodus 3 and 4. Abraham was the father of Israel, the father of faith. Moses was Israel's deliverer and the giver of the law. Samuel was the first in a line of prophets who would faithfully bring God's word to God's people. All three men were key in Israel's history, and God gave all three of them that double call of their name at key turning points in their lives. Notice too that the Lord comes and he stands near Samuel as he speaks to him. This wasn't a dream or a vision, but a manifestation of the presence of the Lord. When the Lord comes to you, friend, you will know it. He is present with us. He speaks to us personally, and he calls us powerfully. This time Samuel responds by saying there in verse 10, "Speak, Lord. Speak, for your servant is listening." He is obedient. And you know, that's a great prayer to pray any time before hearing God's word. It shows a desire to hear, a willingness to listen, a heart that's ready to serve and to obey. You can pray that prayer before hearing a sermon. You can pray it before reading your Bible. It's a great prayer to pray any time before hearing God's word. Speak. Speak, for your servant is listening. Because Samuel was obedient to God and to Eli, he heard the message from the Lord and he learned what God had planned for him to do. The person who surrenders to the Lord and is willing to listen will always learn God's will. Well, Samuel asked God to speak, and God spoke. And I don't know about you, but as I read what the Lord said to Samuel, I'm not quite sure that's what I would have expected. Samuel didn't know the message the unknown prophet had delivered to Eli, but the message that God gave him confirmed it. Samuel was given a word of judgment for his surrogate family. Eli is the man who has raised him. He's been in the temple in Shiloh since he was a little boy. A word of judgment in verse 12 on Eli's house. A word of judgment in verse 13. The reason for the judgment is given because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. And then in verse 14, the word that says that Eli and his house are beyond salvation. How sad is that, by the way, that they are beyond atonement, that they are beyond forgiveness. The Lord had been long-suffering toward the house of Eli, but they had not repented and turned from their sins. And now it was too late. Friends, don't let anyone ever tell you that you have forever to make a decision to follow Jesus and to turn from your sin. You never know the moment that it's going to be too late, the moment that God is going to harden your heart finally and fully, the moment the Lord is going to return and you've not bowed that knee. If you have not put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, then before you leave this place tonight, will you do that, please? I plead with you. Do not take the chance that you have tomorrow or the next day or the day after that to make that decision. Make it while you can. You have to be faithful to answer a call like Samuel's. And Samuel was faithful. He has an attentive ear, an obedient will, and now we see a humble heart. Look what he does in verse 15. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He had heard the voice of God. He's received the message of God, but he still got up early and went back to his old tasks, back to what he had been trained to do. He opened the doors of the sanctuary so that the people could come in to sacrifice. And he said nothing to Eli about what God had told him. I don't know about you, but that for me shows some kind of remarkable maturity on the part of a young boy. Most youths would have been proud of their experience with the Lord. They would have rushed around delivering the message, not even thinking about the consequences of it, and they wouldn't have stopped to carry on opening the doors that they were responsible for opening. It was only when Eli commanded him that Samuel relayed the message of judgment that God had given to him. Of course, there's another side to all of that, isn't there? What do you do with a message like that? If you're Samuel and you've been given those words to share with Eli, it's not something you can simply walk straight up to him and blurt out, isn't it? Samuel, we read in verse 15, was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He dreaded sharing the news. A deep affection doubtless bound Eli and Samuel. Samuel's looked up to and learned from Eli from a very young age. Eli refers to him as my son in verses 6 and now 16. Eli saves Samuel a whole load of trouble here though. He commands him to reveal it all. Do not hide it from me, he says, verse 17. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. And in those moments, Samuel realizes he's got to share. And in verse 18, so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. You know, Samuel's call there highlights the burden, the pressure, the conflict, even the pain of the word of God. No sooner is Samuel called to the prophetic task than he finds out how difficult and how heart-rending it can be. He's caught in the dilemma that only a true prophet knows. He will speak judgment because truth is at stake, yet he cringes to speak it because compassion moves him. Here is the truth for our day, brothers and sisters. The person delivering God's word should faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God, leaving nothing out. There are some pastors, some preachers, who only share the positive parts of Scripture and avoid the negative parts. We cannot do that. This is the whole counsel of God from beginning to end, the bits we like, and yes, even the bits that we struggle with. The message of love and also the message of judgment. We need people today who will proclaim God's word faithfully and fully. And like Eli, we should humbly receive all of God's word, even, perhaps especially, the parts we don't like or the parts we really don't want to hear. Samuel had a humble heart and continued his daily tasks. He had a humble heart and faithfully and fully shared God's message. And notice in the midst that Eli had a humble heart to receive God's word, because he says in verse 18, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Friends, may we have that same humility when we hear the word of God to us. And then lastly, just notice a godly walk. The one who has an attentive ear calls, speak, O Lord. And then he shows an obedient will and a humble heart as they respond to God's call through all of this. They continue to walk in God's ways and they continue to grow in God's grace. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up and he let none of his words fall to the ground. God confirmed Samuel's prophecies again and again. All of Samuel's words hit straight to the target. None of them fell to the ground. And all Israel recognized that Samuel was a prophet attested by God. Remember, chapter 3 began by saying that God's word was rare at that time. It ends by saying that through Samuel, God's word came to all Israel. There was a new prophet in town. His name was Samuel. Samuel's training had been for the priesthood, but now he's called by God to be a prophet. And one last thing. How did the Lord reveal himself to Samuel? Look at verse 21. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. He may have come elsewhere at times in dreams and with visions, but again and again, the main way that God comes to his people is through his word. Friends, your best companion in life is the word of God. God reveals himself to us through this word. Would you read the scriptures reverently? Would you read them carefully? Would you read them thoughtfully? And as you do, cry out, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." And as he shows you the way, walk in it. As he shows you his will, do it. And as he shows you his word, speak it. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for the privilege of having your word. This word that continues to reveal more of you to us. It's through your word that we learn more of who you are, your character, your attributes, how we learn of your grace and your mercy, how we learn of your plan of salvation. Lord, we thank you that you know us by name, just in the same way that you knew Samuel by name. We thank you that you call us by name. We thank you that you're gracious in that calling of us. Lord, we thank you for what we've learned tonight. We pray indeed that you would speak, O Lord, that you have been speaking through these past moments as we've thought on your word, and Lord, that you would continue to speak to us as we leave this place this evening. And Lord, we pray that anything is of man, that you would take it away,